Coming up, I'm going to teach you a hack that will instantly make you smarter. And then cancel culture destroying the workplace? How? And then the benefit that's keeping workers from quitting. And we're going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, this is the show where we coach you up to have the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I am your counselor, coach, and cheerleader all in one phone call. We'll have our coaching session coming up later in the program. But first, I'm very, very excited to teach you about a hack that you will see instantaneous growth, instantaneous brand positivity in your own personal brand, instantaneous knowledge acquisition. I mean, just this one hack employed on a regular basis gives a return on investment instantaneously. What is it? What do you think it is? It has to do with conversation and it has to do with communication. And it addresses this problem. We don't employ our curiosity like we ought to. We are hardwired for curiosity. We come into this world as little toddlers as we begin to communicate, and our driving activity in that toddler age is learning, getting to the bottom of everything. So what do toddlers do at an enormous rate? They ask questions. They're just little question askers. Why, Daddy? You answer that. Why, Daddy? You answer that. Why, Daddy? So the problem we're addressing today is we've lost our curiosity. And in losing our curiosity, we lose opportunities to learn. We lose opportunities to connect. We lose opportunities to do. So the hack that will make you smarter in every way is to walk into every conversation looking for opportunities to ask questions. I want you to wield a question like you would wield a weapon. But this is a weapon for good. It's interesting to me that there is a study from the University of Michigan that says by the time the average American reaches the eighth grade, well, you're only asking 2 to 3 questions a day. Just let that sink in for a moment, because that is startling and it is sad. Now, I'm not going to go on a rant about what causes this, but you've heard me talk about it before. If you're new to this, our education system is creating this problem, because from the moment these little children of wonder enter into the classroom at the age of kindergarten, and then they begin to move up, the system is teaching them to simply memorize and regurgitate. And so it's no longer about asking questions, it's about answering questions. But that's another topic for another time. So here's how you sound smarter. Ask a really good question. By the way, when you get into a habit of asking good questions, you will begin to ask great questions. Great questions. So you want to get ahead in the office. You want to get ahead in relationships, ask questions. Now, let me just break this down. Why do questions make us look smarter, make us look more likable? Why is that? Because when I am asking a question as opposed to making a statement, I am involving you by the very nature of the question. No matter what the question is about, there is an actual interaction. I want you to really stay with me on this, because here's what happens. When I ask you something, I'm now inviting you in to give a response. As opposed to when I make a statement, I go, this is what I think, this is what I believe, or whatever. And now you don't have any interaction other than to agree or disagree versus to engage. So we're not about agreement or disagreement all the time. And so the very psychology of a question is much more likable. person who asks questions about other people, you go, wow, they were really interested in me. Without me even forming an opinion about you, I start to feel good about you because you're asking me about my favorite topic. Me. I mean, just think about it. How does a person react when you walk up to them and say, hey, I'd like to get your opinion on something? They sit up a little taller. They stand a little taller. Their face brightens. Why? Because you have said to them, I think your opinion is valuable. And you've said that, not in a statement, but you've said it through a question. So questions make us more likable because we are engaging. We are creating engagement. So I want to walk through from my first book. This is always fun to break this guy out. One question, first book I ever wrote before I got to Ramsey Solutions. And you can get it at RamseySolutions.com in the bookstore. But I wrote an entire book to demonstrate the power of a question. And I want to teach on this today because I feel like so many people are this close to breakthrough if they begin to enter into each day going, how can I ask questions? Where can I ask questions? What is the question or what are the questions I need to ask? So I want to walk through a few things from the book. Number one, Albert Einstein once said, and this is largely one of the most brilliant people that's ever walked the face of the earth, widely respected. He said, to raise new questions, new possibilities, to regard old problems from a new angle requires creative imagination. This is arguably the greatest scientist ever to live, who asked questions for scientific reasons, but he's saying to raise questions, to look at old problems, marks real advance in science. So I think great questions are keys that unlock possibilities. Let me say that again. Great questions are keys that unlock possibilities for us and for our good. Three things that questions do. Number one, they reveal important things. Hey, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. I'm always talking about get clear, get clear, get clear. You can't get clear if you're not asking the right questions all the time. Questions reveal important things. Two, questions get to the heart of a matter. It's a scalpel. When we do the coaching session later today, I will inevitably ask questions of the caller to dive deeper to get to the heart of what they're really dealing with. And then three, questions transform. How many times as a parent or as a leader or as a coworker or as a friend, a brother or sister, have you answered a question with a question? Or how many times have you asked a question of somebody in your life? And when you asked it just that certain way, maybe at that certain time, the light bulb went off. So the solution to asking more questions is to think of questions to ask all the time. Hey, I got a lunch coming up with somebody. I got a meeting coming up. I'm in the middle of a meeting. What questions do I need to ask? Don't just sit there and observe. Engage with questions. Think of questions to ask in every moment of the day. Think of questions to ask in every interaction that you've got scheduled. And then don't just think of questions, ask them. And then never stop asking. And when you begin to create this habit of asking questions, you are going to turn into an absolute likability, advanceable, promotable machine. Ask questions. They're the secret hack to getting ahead. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are here. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm so excited. We're getting more and more emails and replies from you who are using my friends at ZipRecruiter. If you're thinking about changing jobs, and a lot of people still are, there are so many different avenues, connections, strategies that you can use. And one of the best ones is a free resource like ZipRecruiter, one of the top hiring sites in the United States. They do all the work for you. Once you fill out a profile, they are another strategy. They are your full-time recruiter pitching you while you're going about your life and letting you know of opportunities that are really easy to apply to with one click, and you stand out because you're coming from them. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. I want to say hi to all of the folks in the YouTube chat room. Those of you that are watching live as well, join those folks over in the chat room from time to time. They're very nice. I call them the YouTube crazies because they're very enthusiastic, and they have lots of observations. I can see, Alex, that already at least one comment is being made about the pastel golf attire, and somebody thinks I'm wearing white pants and brown classic shoes. Am I? We'll wait till the end of the show. A little fun moment at the very end of the show for those who hang around so as not to interrupt the valuable content. I will stand up and reveal what the entire outfit is. But I can tell you it's not white pants. There you go. But I think it's going to cause a stir, Alex. That's what I think. And I don't care. Because I'll remind you, good folks, I love you to death, but I pick the outfits for me, and I really don't care at the end of the day what you think. But it is kind of fun, and I'll reveal the full attire at the very end of the program. But we got a couple stories to get to. Let's do it. It's time for In the News. Half of U.S. employees would leave their job for this one reason, but will stay for these benefits. This is from Yahoo. So this is very interesting. Do you fall into these categories? Very interesting. So I'm going to reveal what these are, and then I got a comment or two. We got another story to get to. Global Benefits Attitude Survey conducted by WTW, whatever that is. Sometimes these articles kill me, man. Found that 52% of workers are actively looking for new opportunities or at risk of leaving their current job. That number is held steady. That's not a change in the data, but it is updated. And it's about the same what it has been over the last 6 months. Roughly 40% of those people said they would leave for a 5% pay increase. Now, I'm going to jump into this data and we'll keep moving. I got to caution you. If you're going to leave your company for a 5% pay increase, I want you to just pause for a second and I want you to run the numbers on what 5% is actually going to look like in your bank account after taxes and moves and all the things. Here's why. If you leave over 5%, you better be absolutely sure that this is a good long-term move and it is a good culture fit for you. Long-term move means you believe that this move for a 5% pay increase still keeps you on the ladder and gives you the opportunity to climb and go where you want to go. You better make sure of that. And you better make sure it's a good culture fit, because I'm going to tell you something. Once you pull out taxes and all the things that are involved with changing companies and the culture's not any better or it sucks, 5% is going to wear off fast. There's my warning. 56% of those respondents said they would move to a new job for better pay and bonuses. Duh. While 39% say they would stay in their current job if the pay and bonuses meet their needs and expectations. Again, caution here. What are your expectations based on? Are your expectations based on marketplace norms? Or is it just, well, I just want a 7% raise because inflation? Well, I want a Lamborghini. I want a Killer Lagoon style pool in my backyard, Alex, with a hot tub. You know, I want a vacation home in Fiji. There's lots of things that I want. But just wanting them doesn't mean that I, A, deserve them or I should get them. I got to work for it. And I'm working for the pool. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so this is the benefit that people stay for. 60% of people say they would stay in their current job because of a strong retirement plan. Interesting. 38% say they'll stay in their current job for security. And 33% they leave a position that offered better security. So the benefit that is keeping people is that security gland that we heard multiple times in the data there, two different pieces of data on security. Here's the deal. The retirement plan keeping people is about security. And so now I'm gonna challenge you on that. If you stay at a place that is not where you need to be long term, or has a sucky culture, all because of your retirement plan, you're wrong. You shouldn't do that either. I said something on Instagram last week, Alex. I did a Q&A. Somebody asked me about benefits and basically like, should I stay at a company? I don't really love it, but I've got a great benefit package. And I said, you should never make a decision on a job based solely on benefits. And people are like, I don't explain that, Ken. Like, listen, let me explain it. Benefits should never be the deciding factor. The deciding factor should be, is it the ladder that I need to be on, and is it the environment that I can thrive in? Benefits is the bonus, is my point. So you should have already made your decision based on your future and the environment and the culture, and then benefits is bonus, is my point that I'm making. Got to spell everything out these days, Alex. I don't understand. All right, next story. Now, this is not a this is not a news story like I normally share. This is essentially an op-ed, and we got a bunch of young people that are watching and have no idea what that means. That means a editorial opinion that they used to write in these things called newspapers. There's a young guy out in the lobby watching the show with his family right now. I'm guessing he's probably, 14, 15 years of age? 14? 15. Oh, that's a pretty good guess. I said the word newspaper, and he literally did this. This is great. And I'm not making fun of you. This is actually perfect. This is what he did. I said, this thing's called newspapers, and he went, huh. You know what I mean? Like, what's a newspaper, man? Like, newspapers is like, that's what old people do. Well, I used to read a newspaper every day. So this is an op-ed here from a writer, Lacey Leon McLaughlin. I just want to focus on a couple things in this, so we get to this really quick. Because the headline is, the real reason cancel culture is destroying the American workplace. So I thought, oh, I hate cancel culture. Because I think everybody just gets offended over everything, and we got a bunch of snowflakes walking around. They can't get through their day if somebody believes something different than them. And it's like, get over yourself. You're not the only person on the planet. That's what cancel culture is. I'm offended, and now I need to destroy you because you said something that offends me. Okay. It's not what she's saying. What she's basically saying is that these younger people, millennials and Gen Z in the workplace, remember, millennials are the number one demographic in the workforce. Well, they tend to get banged on a lot because they're the ones that get offended by everything. And I get it. And by the way, before you pick on millennials and Gen Z, and I'm a parent of Gen Z, it's our fault that they're so freaking sensitive in the first place. Things started to go wrong with bike helmets and elbow pads. There it is. I just offended a bunch of people with that one, but think about it. My generation, no elbow pads, no bike helmet. Was it reckless? Maybe, but it taught us not to be idiots on a bike. All right, so here's what she's saying. What has happened is now leaders, instead of being scared of these younger generation and the snowflakery that they distribute a lot, they're starting to listen to them. Respect their opinion, which I think is good. They are the future. And so she's saying that cancel culture, talking about it as a negative thing, is bad. It's a potentially good thing when leaders are forced to listen to younger generations. I see the point. But leaders, don't be afraid to lead. Don't be scared to offend. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So I'm in the chat room. Nathan, these folks never disappoint. So we're going to get to another coaching call at the end of the show. I'm going to reveal the full outfit because the YouTube crazies are making all kinds of guesses. I do love some people are convinced of the shoes. Gary Spratt, the all-time YouTube crazy, is convinced that I'm wearing the Sperry Topsiders. So we'll see. This is so fun for me. So that will take, Nathan, 10 seconds. As we wrap the show, I'll do a stand-up reveal, and we'll let these folks see if they're right or wrong. By the way, don't get your hopes up. We're not doing this every day. Today's outfit, I just know, is going to send the YouTube crazies over the edge. And so, Amanda, you agree? Like, I'm not overhyping this. I think when I reveal it, these people are going to go bananas. So just about 7 minutes away, there's a guy out in the lobby trying to look around and peek around the corner of the desk. Well, you just wait, sir. It's going to send people over the top, and we'll have fun with it. But let's get to Amy, who's on the line in Saginaw, Michigan. Amy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm living the dream, Amy. How can I help you?
Oh, well, I got a question I've been puzzling over for a few years, and it just has to do with the right way to ask for disability accommodations when you're going into a new workplace.
Okay, do you mind telling me what your disability accommodations need to be or that you would prefer to be? So what's the need to be, prefer to be? Is there any difference?
Well, I'm going to back up a minute just because I served in the military in the late 90s and early 2000s, so I would joke and tell you which one, because I have a few.
Okay.
My primary ones that have been giving me problems are a vestibular disorder, which was diagnosed when I was on active duty, so that's a problem with my balance.
Okay.
And also migraines, which can hit sometimes without warning and can be pretty significant.
Yes, bless
your
heart.
So I have found that sometimes I need to be able to get up and walk outside, take a break. There's been a couple times I've had to go home.
Okay.
And for many years after I left the service, I was, you know, sub-teaching and tutoring, so I could kind of make it work, but not so much. You know, it's hard when you're in a classroom to have supervision.
My last job,
I actually had to leave halfway through the day. So I just thought, well, I need something different.
Of course. And so what are you doing currently?
Right now, I am at home.
Okay. So the only workplace environment that you've been in since getting out of the military, which, by the way, I want to thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
You're a great American. Thank you. The only non-military environment that you've had to deal with this balance issue and the migraines is the teaching classroom. Is that correct? Or has there been
For the most part. I mean, I've had a couple odd jobs short term here and there. One summer I worked at a YMCA camp, which was great, but of course it's just a seasonal position. But
yeah, but my point
I did
is,
that
is
and that I did volunteer work, which I could control the circumstances.
Of course, but you can't control when a migraine hits you. And
no,
there are some times where the migraine knocks you out. You can't take a walk. You can't persevere. It's just, it's like a sick day, right?
Like you got to go. Yeah. And the concern is the kind of field I'm interested in. I'm a little hesitant. Well, I got my degree in criminal justice before I went on active duty.
Okay.
And so I've been looking at a few different possibilities in my community, in my region, and I identified some targets, but my concern is what happens when this hits.
Well, but what type of work, give me an ideal position in law enforcement that you would love to have. If we could snap our fingers and give it to you, what would it be?
Right. Not necessarily law enforcement because of the physical limits. I was looking more at courts.
Oh, okay.
Or,
so
one of the social service agencies, so
okay.
Part-time work.
So part-time and clerical, maybe customer interactive in nature?
Perhaps.
Okay, so here's my point. Now that we know, and you need to get more clear on the type of work you're looking at,
mm-hmm.
okay, because let's just take, and you didn't share all the disabilities, but the balance issue, if you are sitting down most of the time, does that sort of mitigate that?
A lot of the times, yes.
Okay, great. So my point is, you've not shared anything more than the balance issue nor the migraine. Both are very serious. But if you have a migraine, it's like a sick day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got to take time off, you're going to have a certain amount of time for sickness. And if you've got a great leader who really wants you and is excited about you being a part of the team, and you go, look, mm-hmm. every once in a while I get the crazy migraines, mm-hmm. but it does not tend to hinder my ability to do good work. It just is one of those unfortunate things that pops up, but don't make it bigger than it is. So mm-hmm. I guess my point is, unless you know exactly what the accommodations need to be, Then I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would just mention it. Hey, I have some balance issues, but in this type of job, looks like I'm going to be you know, seated most of the time. If it affects me, here's how I mitigate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't make a bigger, and I'm not saying you are, but my point is unless there's something else that you go, the ADA provides for these workplace accommodations, are mm-hmm. you comfortable with it? Then that's a reveal in the interview, and there's federal guidelines around that stuff anyway.
Right. Right.
So I just wouldn't go overboard. Not that you are.
Right.
But I feel like your experience with migraines, to me, as your coach, I don't think you have to make a big deal out of it and even bring it up, even in the interview.
Mm-hmm. That would come later, I imagine.
I mean, yeah, you deal with the migraine as you deal with it. It pops up, you go in and go, hey, I've got a crazy migraine. A lot of times I can work through this, but I
can't. Well, migraines and vertigo both, yeah. And one thing I found, too, over the course of being in various environments is sometimes, you know, certain smells will trigger that as well. So I have to be very mindful of that, you know, like cleaning chemicals and whatnot. So.
Well, but again, how
that goes with that.
If mindfulness allows you to avoid a lot of this, I just don't think you have to disclose all of this. Because here's my point. You disclose all of this and you kind of create a little paranoia and a little bit
Yes, I've been told I kind of overshare sometimes. That's not new.
Yeah, but my point is you are a productive member of society and have mm-hmm. been in the workplace before despite all of these challenges. True or false?
Mm-hmm.
True or false?
Yes.
You've been successful and you've overcome these things and these are challenges that you have to live with. True or false?
Yes, true.
And you know how to mitigate and plan for these things to try to press through. True or false?
True.
Well, then, can you do the job or not? Can you do the job or not?
I should be able to.
Yeah. So why don't we go in with that mindset? And the other things are just challenges that you have to deal with, and we'll deal with them when they come
up. Mm-hmm.
That's my encouragement. I'm not telling you in any way to not disclose stuff. I just don't think you have to share it. If you get some vertigo stuff, you go, man, I've got this weird condition. I got a little vertigo going on, but hey, I managed through it. Fine. If you can do the job.
I just got a little shy because I did have an interview about a month or two ago that I had actually been recruited for. And as soon as I left, the migraine hit. I thought, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but my point is that that's a challenge that you have to deal with and you have been able to overcome it.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I just haven't had some good coaching opportunities over the years. So this is certainly what I needed to hear. It's just been hard when I've been researching to find out, okay, how do I.
No, Amy, you go and you promote yourself as the person that can do it and the person who wants to do it. The challenges you have to face, they're your challenges. Other people are dealing with challenges in the workplace too, but you can do the job. And if you can do the job, that's all you focus on. So thank you so much. You got this. Don't focus on your shortcomings. Focus on what you have to offer. And that's what you focus on in the interview. These things are not going to keep you from being able to do your job. Challenging, yes, but not going to keep you from doing the job. Thank you for the call. All right. A little bit of fun today to close the show. I told the YouTube crazies that are watching live, they're commenting on the pink shirt. Nathan, are we ready? We're going to do a quick outfit reveal. We're not going to make a big deal out of this, but this is going to drive these people nuts. Some people, is he wearing white pants? What shoes is he wearing? What's the deal? So here it is, quick reveal. I'm going to stand up and reveal. We've got the pink shirt with the coordinating pink pants, and then you got to top it all off with the Sperry topsider and no socks. And so I'm ready for the sailboat. Salmon? Oh, salmon. Interesting. I think they're pink. Alex says salmon. The young 15-year-old out there was not a fan of the combo. Just want to report that as well, but that's cool. I'm okay with it. Hey, we got to go.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.